Well, it's good to be here this evening. It's good to look out and see everybody. It's been a long time since I've stood up here, and it seems like a long time to me, but maybe for some of you, you wish it could be a little longer, but I'm sorry. You have to take that up with Larry. And I got to say that it is just a blessing to be here today. Singing has been wonderful. I really miss it. Miss a lot of other things too, but primarily I miss being with all of you, with the singing, all the college students. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Blake Edwards. I was here for a little while and graduated this past December. And for those of you who do know me, I'm glad that you are here still. Maybe you're not going to spend as long as I did in college and you'll be moving on. And that's probably a good idea. But no matter who you are, how old you are, how long you've been here, how long you will be here, let me just make this one statement. Live up your time at Auburn. Appreciate the church here at university. Just live it up. Learn from the people that are here. Love them. They'll love you back. You have relationships that'll last your whole life. You might come down for a Auburn-LSU game one day, years in the future. You'll see your friends. Maybe you'll see some people that they took you into their home and had you over for dinner sometime. They'll remember you. They'll say, hey, you'll get a big smile on your face, and it feels great. But you got to get to know this group, college students. You got to get to know these people. There's some good people here. You're going to learn a lot from them. But, I hate to say older people, but older people, take them in. A lot of you took me in. Continue to do the same. It's worth it. You're doing great work for the Lord. It's good for your kids to be around some of these college students and have those influences. It's a great work. Tonight, I want you to turn to John 9. Turn in your New Testament to John 9. Whether you got to upload the app, you got to flip over there, whatever it is, just turn to John 9. We're going to spend almost all of our time in John 9 this evening. John, the 9th chapter. I want to go through a story involving a blind man and Jesus. What I want to do is I want you to see that this was a big miracle that Jesus performs. And it's interesting because all the miracles that we see, we might get more of a glimpse into what happens after the miracle in this story than almost any other miracle that Jesus performs. We're going to go through John 9. And I hope that you find yourself in this lesson. I hope that you see how it applies to you. Have you ever had someone tell you something you didn't like, you didn't want to hear? For instance, hey, you need to lose some weight. You don't like to hear that, do you? Or how about this? You're too small. You're too big. You're not smart enough. I might have heard all three of those in my life. At different times, obviously. We don't like to hear those things, but sometimes it's the reality. Sometimes you're going for a degree and it's, hey, I don't want to say you're not smart enough, but you don't have the grades, okay? That's a nice way of saying. Maybe you don't put forth the effort you should, or maybe this is not for you. I remember trying to go on rides when I was younger, and it was always, hey, you're too small. I didn't like that. I remember going other times and it's, hey, you're too big. You can't go in the play place anymore. Oh, come on. We've all experienced things like that. You know what I'm going to call that tonight is facing the facts. Facing the facts. Facing the realities and the truths that we come in contact with in life. I'm going to tell you, there's three groups of people that we're going to talk about this evening. They had to face the facts. They all faced it different ways. And we're going to see that there's only one of them that we need to be like. The other two, we don't want to be like them. So look at your life. How are you facing the facts of Scripture? The hard facts of maybe it's doctrine, maybe it's some truth that maybe you don't like. How are you facing those facts and dealing with those truths and those realities? Let's begin in John 9. I want to start and read the first part of John 9, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to go through and we're going to list the facts of this miracle. John 9, beginning in verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said this, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and applied the clay to his eyes, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. What are the facts of this miracle? Well, the first fact is that this man was born blind. If you have an outline, maybe there's some blanks in there you want to fill in. This man was born blind. All these blanks, I want them to be, these are important words that we need to keep in mind, okay? This man was born blind. It's a fact. We can't deny it. It is a fact. What about, what else? He followed Jesus' instructions. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man went. People questioned him afterwards how this happened. He just followed Jesus' instructions. Jesus healed the man. We can't deny that. We can't undermine it. We can't deny it. There's no denying it. Jesus healed the man. Have you ever seen someone spit on the ground, put the clay that they make in someone's eyes, and they can now see? No. Jesus healed this man. There were witnesses of the miracle. His neighbors, those who knew him from probably from birth, were standing around saying, is this really him? He can see now. This can't be him. There were witnesses. There was no denying it. That is important because there's no denying this miracle happened. Although people wanted to deny that it happened, you couldn't because there were witnesses of this. It's important to remember that he was born blind because if we remember with the story of Lazarus, if you remember correctly, Jesus said that there was a purpose behind that miracle. There was a purpose. I'm going to say there's a purpose here too. And we're going to see later on the man, they're saying it is unheard of that anyone should receive sight that was born blind. This is a big deal. Jesus performed miracles all the time. What's so special about this one? There are three groups of people that we're going to talk about. There's the Pharisees, there's the parents, and then there's the blind man himself. They all had to deal with these facts. These are the facts. Maybe you've seen the movie A Few Good Men. Maybe you haven't. Not going to condone that movie at all. But I'll tell you what, I know there's a quote in there. I remember as a prosecutor got up, he laid out the facts of the murders, okay? There was no denying these two men who were in the military had killed someone else that was in the military. And he said, these are the facts, and they are undisputable. And he was right. Those were the facts. Everything he had said was undisputable. They were facts. These right here, these are the facts. They're undisputable. So let's go ahead. Let's continue. Let's move on. The first group of people we're going to talk about is the Pharisees. How did the Pharisees react? Let's pick up in verse 13. Verse 13. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. You notice he's already had to recount to multiple people how this happened. Now he has to do it again to the Pharisees, who I'm sure had already heard what he had said. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied, this being he, this Jesus, applied clay to my eyes and I washed, and now I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews then did not believe that of him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight. I want you to skip over a little bit. After they call on the parents, I want you to skip over. Let's look at verse 24. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? Slap in the face for the Pharisees. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they put him out. They put him out of the synagogue. See how the Pharisees, how they reacted to this. First thing I'm going to say that they did is they tried to manipulate. They tried to manipulate. Look at the two things they brought up in this passage. They brought up the Sabbath. This is the Sabbath. What does that have to do with it? This man was received a sight. And then if you look back in verse number 16, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. This can't be true. How absurd is that? If you remember correctly, Jesus has already addressed this back in John chapter 7. He already established that, is it not okay to do good things on the Sabbath? Don't you do that? Don't you circumcise on the Sabbath? And I can't heal this man? He's already addressed this with the Pharisees before. They're going to keep bringing it up, though. Every chance they get, they're going to bring up the Sabbath. And if you look later on, what do they bring up? We're Moses' disciple. Where did that come from? When I read that, I thought, who are these people? Why do they bring up the Sabbath and Moses? It's an attempt to deflect. Maybe we've done this before. You're faced with something you don't want to hear, so you bring up something that has nothing to do with it. Maybe in your arguments with football, whether Auburn or Alabama, I mean, I'm not going to say there's a debate necessarily the past couple of years, but at times past, there's been some debate who's a better team, right? And then obviously you bring things up that have nothing to do with it. Like, for instance, Auburn fans hate the fact that Alabama fans supposedly will say, well, we got 12 national championships, 13 now, right? Yeah. What does that have to do with it? I'm sure that a lot of you want to amen that. And then all of a sudden, Auburn people bring up things like, what does that have to do with that? It's ridiculous. We do this all the time, from silly arguments to big things, like seeing a miracle that has happened before your eyes. You're going to bring up the Sabbath and Moses? Have nothing to do. It's trying to manipulate the situation and deflect attention. The next thing they did is they continued to question. If you don't like what you hear, do you ever ask, say that again? Say it one more time. I don't think I heard you. I do that. I'm sure some of you do that also. When we don't like what we hear, we ask to hear it again. I think the Pharisees were hoping that his story would change. They really underestimated the faith of this man and his courage. We'll get to that in a little bit. They kept questioning and questioning. If we look at 15 and 16, they questioned. We look at 24 through 27. They questioned again and again. They already knew the facts, and they kept asking, how did this happen? Eventually, the blind man just says, I already told you. You get frustrated with repeating yourself? For some reason, these Pharisees just wanted to ask again and again. I want to tell you that when it comes to matters of doctrine, when it comes to matters that maybe we don't like to talk about in Scripture, this is a real temptation. I don't care if we're talking about something like faith, if we're talking about the Holy Spirit, if we're talking about institutionalism and instrumental music. This is a problem. We do this a lot. We continue to question things when the answers are given, but we don't like them. So we ask again. We ask a different way or a different question. Sometimes we just have to accept the facts for what they are and face them. What else did the Pharisees do? They just rejected the facts. Eventually, they just had to reject it completely. If you look at verse 18, that's exactly what they did. The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight. They didn't believe it. Everyone around them saying this. This man was born blind and now he sees. The man saying, hey, I was blind and I can see. They didn't believe it because they didn't want to. Have you been in that situation? You just don't want to believe it. You don't like it. It doesn't fit into what you have as your ideal. Whether it be something in your life or whether it be some of your beliefs in your Christianity, sometimes we just have to face the facts. Even if they're not fun. Even if we might feel they're going to hurt our relationships with family. We got to face the facts. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. And I think this further goes to them continuing to question. If you don't like my reasoning, you're asking me to say it again and again and eventually say, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Or we just agree to disagree. You just reject it completely. It can't be like that. And lastly, the Pharisees just revile the man. They speak abusively towards him. They abuse this man. Talk bad about him. They cast him out. When you don't like what is in front of you or something being said to you, what is the best thing to do? Get away from it or get them away from you. That's what they did. They had that power, so that's what they did. Get out of the synagogue. They reviled him. Sometimes there's groups of people that we'll be in. We don't like what they have to say. We don't like the way they talk about things. Too judgmental. So we just stay away from them. It's kind of what the Pharisees did. They stayed away from them. Get out of here. We don't want to hear this anymore. Let's face them. Let's face these facts. Well, there's another group here. The group that the Pharisees called in. That's the parents. Let's pick up in verse 18. Let's read what happened with the parents when they were called in. The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." What do the parents do here? The parents decided, "We don't know." They acted ignorant completely. I remember talking to a professor when I was here at Auburn. I remember talking about scriptural things, biblical things, because I was a little worried about what was going to be on the test because it was a history class. And I just talked to him for a little bit, and I didn't really know how that conversation was going to go. A little scared, but turns out I didn't need to be scared because God just looked me dead in the eye, and he said, "Well, when it comes to these things, I'm just ignorant. I don't know." And I thought that was interesting that a man of his stature, so smart, would just look at me and say, "I'm ignorant. I don't know." Is it because you don't want to know? I think that's what the parents had to deal with here. They said, "We don't know, ask him." They didn't want to know. Or maybe they did, and they just didn't want to really answer the Pharisees because they knew the consequences. If you notice back in verse 22, they were afraid. Fear drives us to do so many foolish things. So many foolish things. We can act ignorant, or maybe we could do what they did, try to point the finger at someone else, right? I don't know. I don't know what the teaching is of this. I don't know what you really should do. Someone comes up and says, "Am I wrong in this?" And you say, I don't know. Ask someone else. Maybe we're just being ignorant and being scared. We don't want to be like that. We don't be like the parents here. Just a note, sometimes maybe children don't like to hear the facts that they need to honor and respect and obey their parents. Sometimes parents may not want to face the fact that they need to take responsibility for their parents. It works both ways. That for their kids, it works both ways. We need to face the facts. Don't be like the parents here. And the last person, the blind man himself. How did he react to this miracle, to this story? Well, what we see is he accurately retold the story multiple times. Time and time again, this is what happened. This is what happened. He didn't say anything that he didn't know was true. He only said what was true. But what he did do is he then, because of these facts, began to get some confidence, we see. He came to some conclusions. That's an amazing thing. We see the process of a man whose faith is growing right here. We see that that can happen with us as well. If we just stick to the truths of the Bible, we stick to the truths about Jesus, we might not think we're very strong, but we're going to get strong. This man did, and we will too. One of the conclusions it seems like he comes to is in verse 27. He answered the Pharisees, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" It's kind of smarted off to him a little bit. These are the Pharisees. These are the top dogs of the area, okay? He didn't say, "Do you want to follow him too?" Well, he knew the answer to that. He came to some conclusions. He got bold. We need to get bold. We need to come to some conclusions. Later on, he's going to come to the conclusion, this must be a man of God. I don't know how he did it. I don't exactly know. I don't even know what he looks like. You got to think about that. He never saw Jesus up until this point because he went to the pool and then went on his way. He never saw him yet. But he came to some really good conclusions. This man must be from God. Is he a prophet? I don't know. He must be from God, though. I know that much. So what we see is that he acted on what he knew was true. Brethren, when we know truths about Scripture, we know some truths about our life, things we need to change, eventually we just have to act on them. We got to make some changes. It could be hard, but we have to do it. We have to get bold and courageous. And then we also see that he was changed. I think he was changed completely. Let's pick up in verse 35. Only got a few more verses to read. 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out. In finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. In this whole story, a man that started out being completely blind, he had never seen the light of day, he sees the light. But what we also see is the people who could physically see were blinded because of their arrogance, their fear, because they just didn't want to accept the facts. This man was changed completely. He said, Lord, I believe. Did he ever hear a lesson from Jesus? We don't know. This is the first time he saw him, it seems. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. When we come in contact and we encounter the facts of the Bible, let that be our reaction. We believe and we act on it. We worship him. We serve him. I think this man is probably never going to be talked about apart from just going to John 9, because we don't read of him anywhere else. But what an example for us. What an example for us of how we need to be. So I want you to ask yourself this evening, who are you more like? More like the Pharisees? I hope not. You're more like the parents? I hope not. Don't shy away from your responsibilities, what you know is true. Are you more like the blind man? You just accept the facts, the scripture for what they are. You see Jesus, how he lived, and you see, I got some work to do. Maybe sometimes you have to realize, I'm wrong. I need to do right. Let's be like that man. Let's be like that man. I got one more question for you this evening. What are some facts that we must face? What are some facts that we must face? How about this one? If you see in this scripture, what I see is that this healing, the healing of the blind man, it came after he obeyed. That's a fact. It's a fact we cannot deny. You look over in Acts chapter 22 and you see that Paul is recounting his conversion. One thing that you do see, he talks about forgiveness of sins. He talks about how he was changed. When did it happen? The fact is, it happened after he was baptized. He called on the name of the Lord. How did he do that? It doesn't go into any explanation. It just says he was baptized and called on the name of the Lord. Sounds like he confessed and he repented and things like that to me. Let's just accept the facts like they are. Healing, cleansing, forgiveness of sins is only going to come after obedience. Being blessed in what we do is only going to come after we obey God. A few more. Once we're healed, we should tell others. Once you're changed and once I'm changed, we have to tell others. The blind man wasn't afraid to. Are you? If Jesus has changed your life, tell other people. When they ask about it, don't back down. That's our mission. That's our task. Another thing is sometimes we might not like the truth. Well, if it's a fact and it's something we can go to and we can see clearly it's true, just face it. Even if you don't like it. Because what's more likely, that we're wrong or that God's wrong? Jesus is wrong. I'd say more likely, we're going to be the ones that are wrong every time. And lastly, I want you to turn to Ephesians 5. I want you to see that Jesus is the true light. He started out by saying he was a light. And then he ended in this story by saying that Jesus would give light. He would open the eyes of all that were blind. There's some here that are blind tonight. I feel pretty confident about that. Maybe not physically. There's some people who have not come to the light of Christ yet. They've not seen him for what he is. They've not accepted the fact that they need to come to him. They need to worship him. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are you walking as a child of light? For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. If the light of Christ is in you, then it shines brightly for all to see. You never hide it. I don't care if it's a bushel or whatever it might be. You never hide it. Don't let anyone try to take that light away from you or try to make you blind once again, because that will happen. Jesus is the true light, and just follow him. And he'll lead you all the way home. Have you come to the light? Have you come to the realization that Jesus is what you need in your life? I want you to think about that. And if that's the case for you, make a change. Act on what you know is true, that you are in sin, and you need to get out of it fast. Or how about this? Have you come to the light, but you're not walking as a child of light? Turn back. I don't care if it's when you go home and you get into bed and you just hit your knees because you can't lay your head down at night. So you hit your knees in prayer tonight because you know you've been walking in darkness. You've been living in sin. Do that. But if it means you come up here and you tell us and you ask for our prayers and our help, if we are children of light, we can shine together. We'll help you. We'll pray for you. We'll check up on you. We'll lift you up. I tell you, that was one of the best things that ever happened in my life. I don't think I've been, since the day I came forward in this pew, I don't think I've been the same. I don't plan to go back. The fact is, you need to do something about your sin fast. I plead with you, as we have the opportunity, that you would face the facts. That you would come forward if you need to, and you would ask for forgiveness and let Jesus heal you of whatever is in your life that you need to make right. Won't you come forward and stand as we sing?